swing and a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone. Casas does it again.
Again.
It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied.
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone. Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over.
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 246. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get started, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. We're on WEEI's YouTube page, and you can subscribe there. You can find the Play Tessie podcast playlist there. We'd appreciate it if you guys hit the thumbs up on those videos. Support your boys who are here talking about one of the best damn teams in the American League. Find us on the socials, at Play Tessie, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Let's get going. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. As I said, the Red Sox are one of the best teams in the American League. This is a team that now is in the top wild card spot. It's crazy. Because when bad things, like at the beginning of the season, good things would happen, and then you'd snap your fingers, and something bad would happen, and we wouldn't be able to enjoy the good thing for even a second. But now it's like, Red Sox trade Devers, but then they win 2 out of 3 against the Mariners, which was a big series against a team that having the tiebreaker is going to be important. So it allowed us to kind of have something after that. Then Red Sox don't do anything at the they get Dustin May and they get Steven Matz at the trade deadline. It was an underwhelming trade deadline. We've had those discussions. People have talked about it on Twitter over and over and over again, and obviously in a million other places. People were disappointed in the trade deadline. They come out. I mean, they announced the pitching matchups for this series against the Astros. Cooper Criswell, Walker Buehler, Lucas Giolito, and you're facing Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown in the series. And the Red Sox come out there and sweep the whole fucking series. Like, I'm sorry. That is insane that they swept the Astros under the circumstances, because we've seen the previous iterations of the Red Sox underwhelm. The Red Sox underwhelmed at the deadline, and then the players kind of mail it in. They don't do like the immediate aftermath of the deadline is enough to kill the momentum, but it's different here. These guys have this unique ability to bounce back when they're kicked in the balls, like they were when Devers got traded. And maybe some of them were happy to see him go. I don't know, but you lose your best player. They responded right away there. I know they went into a little bit of a rut after that, but this is a team that's won 19 of their last 25 games. They are in the first wild card spot, a game and a half ahead of the Yankees, who have been ahead of the Red Sox the entire season. They're 3 games back of the division behind the Blue Jays, who have what? What is it, the run differential? It is plus 16 on the season for the Blue Jays. That's not a first place team. That is a team the Red Sox can catch. And they're 3.5 games out of the best record in the entire American League. This is a team that's you like. We were almost classically conditioned with the last 3 or 4 years to the trade deadline comes and goes, and that's when the season falls apart. And I think the reactions to the trade deadline were so extreme because it just kind of felt like it was going to be like that again. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that's not happening this year. This team is going to the playoffs. Am I wrong?
It's looking like they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't blame any fan for doubting that the Red Sox could go on a run like they're on right now. Like you said, Gordo, we've been conditioned in a way as Red Sox fans, and you look at the schedule, the gauntlet, as we've been calling it for weeks now, with the Cubs, the Phillies, the Astros, and it just goes on. It's still not completely done yet. You still got the Padres and then the Astros one more time, but this just feels different. And it starts with Garrett Crochet, in my opinion, and that is why this sweep of the Astros is so impressive. Because you didn't even use Garrett Crochet. And on top of that, like you said, Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown versus Cooper Criswell. That, and you know, no disrespect to Cooper Criswell, he's your up and down depth starting pitcher. And he's not even first on the depth chart. That's a mismatch on paper and on the field. And this Red Sox team, that game is the perfect encapsulation of this team. You count them out, they hang in there all game long, tie it, take the lead, win. That was awesome. How could you not feel good, at least with the prospect of this team making the playoffs? I don't know how far they can go. We got to see how Dustin May looks. We got to see if Walker Buehler is ever going to figure this thing out. And we got to see if the pen holds up. But right now, as we record on August 3rd, I think this is a playoff team, and I'd love to hear the argument against it.
I'm excited to hear from Pat here. Because, Pat, I know you tweeted that you cooled down, and I get it. Reactions were hot after the trade deadline. But if I recall correctly, you declared the season dead after the deadline. And then you backtracked it very soon after. So I'm not going to hold that against you. We were all emotional after the trade deadline. All Red Sox fans were. But I'm curious. Right now, Fangraphs has the Red Sox playoffs odds at 75.5%. How do you feel about the Red Sox chances of making the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, day of the deadline, I was hot. I was real mad. I think I tweeted and I said if the deadline consisted of Steven Matz and Charlie Morton, I would say the season was over. Luckily for me, it was Dustin May, not Charlie Morton.
You're good.
And then, but last episode I did say like every other team beside them got better. Could they make the playoffs? Sure, but it's an uphill battle. I'm all the way in.
Hey!
Not only do I think... I'm all the way in. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I expect them to make the playoffs. This is... I'm going to get crazy. I think they might win the division.
Ooh, that's not crazy.
Pat?
Can I tell you,
Pat? I'm right there with you.
So, and like my thing is this not the team that we thought we had in February, in March? This is like now the stretch where this is how we expected them to be opening day.
With one big difference, with one really, really big difference that Rafael Devers is gone. But
true.
Record-wise and like results-wise, this is what we expected. It's again, and this is not the first time I've said this. It's the results we expected, but it is not the path we thought they would take to get here. So,
yes.
I don't fault anyone for and Pat when Pat has a emotional take in the heat of the moment. I know Pat. I know he didn't really mean that, and I know people get upset when then they'll declare the season over. But this has been a weird way to get to where the Red Sox are at now. I know they're not anywhere yet; they're on their way, but just a weird season. But it's been. I think it's been a really fun season.
Yeah. Well, since the end of May, I mean, in May, I wanted to routinely kill myself. And I was thinking like this team is one of my least favorite Boston sports teams of my life, because every night was just a new ridiculous way to lose a one run game, to get walked off, to lose in extra innings. But
Gordon, you got to get on my wavelength, bro. I never get upset in May. I can't really get upset by a team.
That's the beauty of being a fan, though, is because the pain that I suffered through in May is what makes right now feel as good as it does for me.
Okay, fair enough. I hear that. I want to take that back. I did get furious when Cora had, I think it was Slayton, someone pitched to Vlad as the winning run. That made me mad.
That feels like forever ago.
Yeah, that was a crash out, though. Like I came on here hot, screaming. Can I ask you guys a question? Kind of a look back. Does this series, and I know we haven't seen much of this team since the deadline, but does this series make you less upset that the Red Sox didn't add at the deadline, or more upset because you're now seeing how good this team actually is?
Yes, less upset for me. Because, again, like I said in the beginning of the episode, it feels like we're just classically conditioned to believe that when they don't do anything at the deadline, that signals the beginning of the end of the season. And when they didn't do anything at the deadline, I mean, we came on the podcast and I said, I still think this is a playoff team. So I'm not saying that I believe that, but if they went out and lost 2 out of 3 to the Astros, even though I said the goal probably should be with those pitching matchups to win 1 out of 3, I still probably would have been sitting there thinking, man, here we go again. Just like we did when they lost the first two series out of the All-Star break. Here we go again. Like, it can't help but creep in your mind. So when I see them sweep the Astros, a team that has been better than the Red Sox all season, they're now only a half game ahead of the Red Sox. But all season, they have had the better record, and they've got the pitching matchups this series to back up a prediction that they should win this series, if not sweep it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing them go out and do what they did shows me that this team can take a punch. And I think we've seen that already. But if this series, I mean, I'm trying to think of another series where I felt less optimistic that, and then they ended up winning. I don't like, obviously this is the biggest like shocker of a series of the season because they swept it. Right.
Yeah. I think so.
Sammy, what's your answer to your own question there?
I don't really know the answer to my own question. That's why I wanted to ask you guys to hear what you guys had to say about it. I guess when I look at who was moved, yeah, they could have gotten a little bit of a more reliable option at starting pitcher. I think Dustin May has a much higher ceiling than someone like Charlie Morton, but I just feel way more comfortable with Morton because you know what you're going to get. So I guess that kind of bums me out. Steven Matz, I maintain, that's a good pickup. I know he struggled a little bit before the deadline, but I don't know how much better swapping David Bednar instead of Steven Matz makes you. It definitely makes the Red Sox better. Bednar is a better pitcher than Steven Matz, but does it move the needle? I'm not sure. So I guess I'm kind of fence riding, but if I had to pick, I think this makes me less angry. And also, we kind of buried the lead on this. Fantastic reaction to a lackluster deadline by this Red Sox team. They could have moped around, hung their heads. They did the exact opposite. One of the wins of the season, game one, and then they smoke them in games two and three. So, yeah, I guess I'm less upset if I had to choose.
Pat, let's get your answer to this. Pat's the one we really need to hear the answer for on this one.
I don't think it really changed. I don't think it changes it. One thing I will say is the report from Rob that made me less mad.
You're talking about the Joe Ryan report.
The Joe Ryan report. Between that Joe Ryan report and then supposedly from Carrabas, the Rays wanting Sedan for Yandy. Like,
let's clarify what Rob's, because okay, for yes. People who didn't see it, what was it? It was that Tolley, Arias, Justinks, and Garcia. They were willing to offer two of those three.
It was combinations of two of those three, and then I believe additional like top 10 guys. So they right. kind of had their pick of package between, you know, kind of two headlining pieces and two additional pieces in the top 10, which I think is a very fair price, especially if Tolley's in there. Like, that's so fair.
Yeah, big offer.
And then Carrabas is supposedly saying that the Rays wanted Sedan for Yandy. So I understand not getting those guys, because if you're upping those prices or not meeting the Sedan price, obviously, totally understandable that you did not get those guys. I'm more mad that they didn't get in heavier on the rental market, meaning the O'Hearns, the Merrill Kellys, the Charlie Mortons, but the guys that were obviously going to move, it feels like they were never really truly in on those guys. And those would be upgrades for the next 2 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to feel better. And again, like Sammy said, Dustin May does have a reasonably high ceiling. It's just, it's hard to imagine a guy going nuts with the season that he's had, having 2 months. If he were controllable, then then you can sort of dream a little bit. But 2 months, it's like you only have so much time. Could they have gotten a Charlie Morton? I mean, you look at a guy, even the guy that they're facing, I believe in game one of the Royals series, Bailey Falter gets traded to the Royals, and he's got a 3.73 ERA on the season. Like, there were options that maybe you could have gotten maybe a little bit more of a stabilizing force there. I don't know. Dustin May is definitely a better pitcher than Bailey Falter, but
I can't have a guy named Falter. I can't have a pitcher named Falter on the team.
He's also a bum. I shouldn't even be comparing it. It's the bat. But at the same time, Abraham Toro hit his first right-handed homer of the season and makes you feel like, oh, like, Abraham Toro, remember, he had that nice little run. Maybe he's capable of that again. Like, I wish they'd gotten a bat too, but what bats were traded besides Ryan O'Hearn that could have filled that spot is the question.
That's the only one. That's the only one I wanted.
Naylor. He was early. That we forget
oh,
about.
Oh, true. Yeah. I guess
that's really the offer they should have been.
Yeah, I was going to say Suarez.
Yeah, but that's like top of the. Yeah.
Do you guys. Let's go back to the Joe Ryan thing for a second, because obviously we have to talk about this. And, you know, there's reports that they're going to play the password at first base in the minors coming up to maybe give him a clearer path to the big leagues. But, I mean, you see the offers that the Red Sox put out there that Pat was talking about, Rob's report, very good reporting on Rob's part to get that package. Because you don't always get to hear what those offers were, because obviously these players are all still in the Red Sox organization. But it makes me feel like that, like something is – and by the way, Sandy Alcantara's name was in there too. It wasn't just Joe Ryan. They were offering big packages for Sandy as well. It really makes me think that in the offseason, their path to get that next stud at the top of the rotation is going to come via trade. Like there's some good pitchers that are going to hit the market on free agency. But I feel like Joe Ryan's going to end up being a Sox by opening day next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel fantastic about that prospect. Like this is the kind of, they laid the groundwork in the winter kind of, they laid the groundwork at the deadline for the winter, I should say, that type of move. I think the Red Sox and Twins are going to be flirting early on in the off season. And I actually think they're going to trade for Joe Ryan. If they don't, like you said, Gordo, there's a lot of good options. So even if they don't get Joe Ryan, I'm supremely confident that they're going to add a quote unquote number two starter, another top of the line starter to go behind Garrett Crochet. I feel great about that.
They clearly know they need it. If they're willing to offer the packages that were reportedly, like I get Ken Rosenthal said the feeble thing. I don't buy that shit for a second. Like Ken Rosenthal's as good as they come. I get it, but he's getting word from the Twins side. And obviously the Twins are not going to admit that they liked packages that they got when they didn't trade the player because they want to get bigger packages in the offseason. So it makes sense. But yeah, you have to feel pretty good. The Red Sox obviously think they've got a need there. The question I have is, obviously that's going to be next offseason for next season. Cooper Criswell is not going to be in the rotation, but Walker Buehler is right now. So do they have enough starting pitching to get through the rest of the season now and get to the postseason? You're going to need a four-man rotation for when you get there. Obviously, we all feel good about Crochet, Buehler, and Bayo. Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo. Do you feel okay about Dustin May as the fourth guy? And do you feel like they're going to run into issues having Walker Buehler as the fifth guy? Are they going to have to start digging into their depth? Does Cooper Criswell get a shot at this spot in the rotation? Do they go to Kyle Harrison? Like, what is the move here? Because Walker Buehler in game two did not strike out a single batter. And yeah, he kept them in the game, but it was a lot of hard contact, a lot of luck, a lot of walks. I didn't feel very good about what I saw.
No. How could you? I think we should also mention names like Connelly Early, just got up to AAA. David Sandlin, who's been pitching really well. I saw him pitch on Saturday in Worcester. And the depth options from the minors, guys like Fitz and Dobbins, have been pretty solid this year, especially Dobbins. It stinks that he got hurt. That would have been a great story watching him kind of blossom from one of the depth guys to a guy that you have in your rotation. I digress. Harrison as well, even though Harrison seems like they're really tweaking his repertoire and his pitch mix and everything. So I'm not sure if he'll be an option by then. Outside chance, Peyton Tolley, he's still in AA, so that's unlikely, maybe in a bullpen role. So they do have options. It's just there's no name that I can throw out there that you'll go, oh, hell yeah, I feel great about that. So by default, I think Dustin May, he of a 4.85 ERA right now, I think that's probably your best option for fourth starter as things stand in early August.
Pat, how do you feel about Walker Buehler going into, like, we have 2 months to kill here to get to the postseason. How do you feel about Walker Buehler pitching every fifth day? Would you call on one of these depth guys that we just talked about to replace him in the rotation? And if not, how much longer are you giving him?
I think we all know where I stand on Walker Buehler.
But now the trade deadline has passed.
Yes.
So it's different. You can't just trade for a guy. It's a different conversation.
It is. I think if he definitely, like, not as bad as remember the Angels start?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was like the low point. He hasn't been that bad. That bad compared to that. He's been bad. He's been very bad. I think you give him like another one or two starts. If he doesn't show anything and it's like more walks than strikeouts, less than five innings, more than three or four earned, I think you have to either, you could Phantom IL him, have him go work on stuff and bring up, you know, Fitz or Early if he's ready or Salen if he's ready. But down the home stretch, like once September gets here, end of August gets here, if he is not capable to give you at least five innings of less than three run ball, you can't roll with him. You can't do it because he's way too volatile.
And the other, here's the issue though. I agree with you, Pat. The thing that makes it difficult they just traded for Steven Matz, and they had so much bullpen depth that they sent Brendan Bernardino down to AAA on a 13-inning scoreless streak. Not even saying that like it was the wrong decision to do. I think the decision, him or Murph, like they've both been great. So you're going to send a guy down that's been really good. If Buehler is taken out of the rotation, it's your options are Phantom IL, DFA, or you put him in the bullpen and you have to figure out who's getting optioned or who's getting DFA'd. And like right now, if you're putting him in the bullpen, to me, it feels like the move would probably be a Jorge Alcala DFA, which I don't think they're going to want to do. They traded a prospect for him. He's shown flashes. Obviously, he's not been good his last, what, three or so outings. I get it. It has been ugly. He hasn't been able to find the strike zone. But that's not the kind of arm you want to trade a prospect for and give up on within a month. That's the kind of guy you want to hold onto the offseason and have him in your hands in the offseason. So it's tough. It's a tough decision. I genuinely believe that if Walker Buehler is going to get pulled from the rotation, your options are Phantom IL or DFA. That's it to me.
I wouldn't put him in the bullpen. How could you trust him coming out of the bullpen? What if he doesn't have his command? We've seen what happens when he doesn't have his command. He's not exactly great at getting it back in the middle of the inning. It's been a little messy. What's up, Pat?
Yeah. Sammy just kind of alluded to it. It would be one thing if it was like a second or third time through the order thing where like kind of like Houck was a couple of years ago where it was like that third, fourth inning where he kind of like fell apart, wheels came off. I don't trust him, period. Never mind against 7, 8, 9 in the order, off the bat against 1, 2, 3, first time through. There is in no context right now where I feel good about Walker Buehler facing someone. And I would say it's more of a risk than a way, way more risk than a risk than a reward if you put him in the bullpen.
Joe?
Well, to the point about the timeline, though, did you guys see or listen to the game about Alex Cora's reaction to Buehler struggling? Like, it was described that Cora was incensed, or not incensed, but he was just very angry and frustrated by pretty much every pitcher that day that struggled. Like, he was mad about Buehler. He was mad about Alcala.
Hicks.
And Hicks, too. Like, Cora knows, like, they need, like, because the ideal solution is Buehler figures this all out and you can keep him in the rotation. You feel good about him if you're making postseason starts. But Cora knows that, like, the time is now. They need good pitching, and they can't be playing this waiting game for so long.
The upside with Buehler here this entire season, like when you signed the guy, you signed him for the upside that, hey, this is a guy who's going to turn it on come postseason time, and he's going to make those starts for us. He's got that experience, and he turns it up. Not just one, not just two. Like, he turns it up all the way in the postseason. But he's got to show you that you can trust him to even give him that shot in the postseason. So I understand, particularly after the deadline, if they want to give him a little bit of time, a couple more starts, I get it. Like, whoever you're trying out, it's not like there's some elite like pitching prospect who's crushing it. Like, Kyle Harrison is the closest we have to a really good pitching prospect. But as Sammy said, he's working on a ton of stuff in AAA, overhauling the arsenal, and it's looking better. But there's no sure bets. There's no trade deadline addition to come. But at a certain point, you're just not going to be able to trust Walker Buehler enough to give him postseason chances to show you that he can turn it up a notch. Like, you're not going to trust him to do that. So, yeah, I wouldn't yank him from the rotation now. I would have yanked him from the rotation in favor of a trade deadline addition. It's too late for that now. They removed Fitz, and this is where you're at. But, yeah, if it's maybe two more tough starts, would I give Cooper Criswell that spot start? Yeah, I would. And if he doesn't do it, I'd give it to Richard Fitz, Kyle Harrison, and just try to find lightning in a bottle. Give yourself a chance. Sammy?
I think we do have to mention, even though this is kind of a unlikely outside chance kind of thing, the waiver deadline is kind of sort of back. It's almost the same as it used to be with like a few tweaks. I won't get too detailed.
You can't trade anything for the guys. It's literally just taking the contracts.
Right. So, and there's another, I should pull this up. But yeah, it's kind of sort of like it used to be, but no trades. You just take the player, basically. One guy I'm thinking, I think Savali would be the best option to get via that path, but that's unlikely because the Red Sox are too good. So likely someone else claims Savali before he even gets to the Red Sox. The other one, a little more realistic, let me know what you guys think of this, is Justin Verlander. And he's kind of had this sort of, not a deal, but this conversation with San Francisco saying, like, if there's a spot you want to go, we can try to get you there. So it's a little weird. It's not likely. It's, in fact, it's pretty unlikely, but there is an outside chance the Red Sox could end up with one of these passable pitchers that are currently on a team that's not contending via waivers. So cross your fingers for that, but don't get your hopes up.
It's just tough to think about because we all, like Pat said, I think this team could win the division. I agree. Sammy, do you think this team, like, you think this team can win the division? If this team gets to the point where they're in the top of the, like, you've got what, about 28 days until that deadline, the waiver deadline. It's the end of August, I believe. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yeah.
End of August.
End of August. It's a month after the deadline. Yeah.
Right.
So trade end deadline. Of
yeah. End of August. I'd like to think that the Red Sox are going to be in a position where these guys, like, remember all those years ago when the Angels DFA'd everyone, like the Guardians got everyone because they were the worst team that was still in contention for the playoffs. So they just claimed all those guys and they got a lot of them.
They were the worst of the best. That was it. Right. The worst contender.
They were the worst contender and they got all the guys. Anyone who's worth claiming, if the Red Sox do what we hope and think they can do between now and the end of August, they're not going to be in a position to get them. That's what scares me.
Do you guys know? So if, let's say Verlander does get put on waivers and Tampa claims him because they have a 5% chance, can he say no? Or can the Giants say no? He has to go, right?
Yeah.
So if he were to be put on waivers, it would have had to be kind of a leap of faith for him. Got fingers crossed that you land somewhere that you're into. I mean, he could always just retire. Just be like, no, I'm not pitching. But
okay, yeah, they have that sort of leverage. Yeah. Yes, they could just like straight up refuse.
There you go. You could do that. Hey, if Tampa Bay, I don't want to pitch in a minor league ballpark for the last 2 months or last month of my career. If you pick me, I'm done. I'm not showing up. So don't do it. Do that, Justin Verlander. Come to Boston. Bring Kate Upton.
Pat?
No, I was gonna say, like, I'm just looking at the teams ahead of them on the waiver wire that need starting pitching. Like, I think Texas would take a flyer on them. Kansas City may take a flyer on them. Guardians might take a flyer on them. Yankees didn't do shit for their rotation. Yankees might take a flyer on them.
Yeah.
And then out west, you got, you know, the Reds maybe, Padres.
And this is every starting pitcher. Like, this isn't
Texas.
Just...
It's definitely going to be Texas, Pat. That because they have... Listen to their rotation. DeGrom, injury prone. Eovaldi, injury prone. Molly, injury prone. And then they have Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, who are not super reliable. So, Merrill Kelly now, too. Yeah. So I think that would be the team just because they are held together by duct tape right now, that rotation. It's good rotation. It's just not super reliable health-wise.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, anyone who's making it through at that point, like the Angels year where like Giolito got waived, that was a really, really unique year because they had this. I mean, I don't even think they ended up getting under the tax. I think they tried to waive everyone to get under the tax, but then I think no one claimed Randall Grichuk and then they didn't get under. I forget whether there was some crazy math that was, I forget if they got under or not, but there's so unlikely to be a situation like that again, where really, really good players are being waived because the math can get that team under the luxury tax. The truth is, like, the Red Sox probably have what they have and they're going to have to roll with what they've got. And at a certain point, you've got to give someone else a chance to prove that, hey, I can get this team through big games in September. It's just tough because you don't want to give up the upside of what Walker Buehler has shown he can do in the playoffs. But again, like, he's been so bad that to me, there's no chance he would be on my playoff roster. Like, he would have to go on a serious run for me to have trust in him, even with what he's done in the postseason in the past.
Oh, yeah. Right now, no way. How could you, like, can you imagine that guy in a postseason game right now? We'd be covered in sweat. Not good sweat. Nervous sweat.
Yeah. Pat? And, like, the other thing, too, is if you don't carry him on your postseason roster, you get Bernie back. By that time, Slayton's back. Like, you could have so many good arms out of that bullpen. because you're never going to use the fifth starter. He would never pitch, and he would never be trusted in a relief role. No matter, I don't care what he did last year, you can't do it. He would not be on the postseason roster.
Guys, want to hear something upsetting?
What?
Please.
Charlie Morton in his debut versus the Phillies, pitching for the Tigers, 6 innings, only 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 1 walk, 6 Ks.
I went on record saying I would have rather had Morton than May, but what I will say is the acquisition of Dustin May kind of in a way felt like a we believe in you to Walker Buehler, because Dustin May, out of all of the pitchers traded at the deadline, would be probably the best one if pushed into a bullpen role. His stuff would be really good out of the bullpen. So if you did happen to find lightning in a bottle with Buehler or any other starter in your rotation, Dustin May pushed to the bullpen for the postseason actually could be a weapon for you in a way that a Charlie Morton really wouldn't translate in the same way.
You went the total opposite way I thought you were going. I thought you were saying it's we believe in you to Dustin May. We can fix you in this short amount of time if we just tweak these small things. Like,
maybe
That's a good way to look at it. And I totally agree. He's pitched out of the bullpen before. A lot of people actually penciled him in as a back end of the bullpen type years ago before the Dodgers tried to make him a starter. So yeah, I could see that happening. I'd feel a lot more comfortable about Dustin May coming out of the bullpen, but you know, obvious trade-off would be Buehler has to start a playoff game. God, I can't even get that sentence out without shuddering right now. And I've been pretty patient with Buehler. Too patient, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like I really wish, and Breslow, again, I don't even know why he had that media availability today, but like he confirmed again that Patrick Sandoval's not coming back. Obviously, we've known that Cutter's not coming back. And now the news that Tanner Houck is getting Tommy John surgery, which obviously, like, he's had such a brutal year, both mentally and physically. Just you feel terrible for him, because with the timing of this, he's probably going to miss most or all of 2026 too. Like, he's out there saying, yeah, they say 12 to 14 months. So I'm hoping it's 12 months and I can come back and help them down the stretch. But like, Tanner Houck, when he comes back to this team, like, he's probably not going to get that chance again to be that starting pitcher that we thought he could be entering the season, that he was last year. Like, he's going to come back. Wow. I mean, really, when you think about it, it could be bad for him, because he's missing the rest of this year. He's probably going to miss all of next year. We've seen these Tommy John guys. They always have setbacks. They always do. And if he does, then you hit the lockout year. It's like the poor guy is going to basically have gone maybe 3 years without pitching if shit really doesn't break his way.
Yeah, that's scary. I don't think we can preclude him from not getting a shot again, because we don't know what the state of the team is going to be. But if everything goes to plan, I agree with you, Gordo. I don't think they're going to pencil him in for a big time rotation role.
I saw this floated, and I don't think it'll happen, but it'll be an interesting conversation, I think. You think there's a chance he gets non-tendered?
Wow.
Jeez. I hate that we're even talking about that.
I can't even
outside chance.
Because
I can't definitively say no to that. That's
because he would be a free agent after 27, yeah?
So he wouldn't even
pitch for the Sox again, is my point.
That'd be crazy. Dude, so it's basically asking what's more valuable. Oh, no, he's on the 60, though, so.
But he can't be on the 60-day in the offseason, so you have to hold him on that roster spot if you want to keep him.
Right, so it's what's more valuable to the Red Sox, a 40-man spot in the offseason or Tanner Houck in 2028?
The more we
talk about this, the more it kind of, I don't know.
Sammy, he's a free agent going into 2028. So basically,
he would not pitch. If there's a lockout, he would never pitch for the Red Sox again.
Well, if there's a lockout, he wouldn't earn the service time. So he would pitch in 2028 if the lockout cancels the whole season.
Okay.
But the scary thing that, like, the worst case scenario here, if you're talking his service time, is obviously he's not pitching again in 25. He's probably not going to pitch in 26. And let's say the lockout eats up half the games in 27, then you're paying Houck 2.5 years. Well, you're paying him his 26 salary and whatever prorated version of his 27 salary to get however what, however many games they play in 27. So let's say it's a half season. Like, yeah, I mean, I think there is an argument to non-tender him. That's like, that would suck. That would suck. Mm-hmm. I would hate it. I would hate it, but I would.
A lot of this depends on the lockout too, I think. And I know it doesn't accrue service time, but you are a year older. You can't stop father time.
And the other thing too is, let's say, I don't think it happens. Let's say all of 27 is a lockout. Like the whole season's just washed, whatever. He would come back after two and a half, pretty much like three, because he's pretty much this missed this whole season. 3 years off at 32 years old after Tommy John.
No, you're right.
Can you pitch in overseas leagues during the lockout? Or does that go case by case? It might be like past lockout might be different than current.
Let me try to figure this out.
Ask Grok.
Goink.
Goink won't know. It sucks that we even have to have this conversation about Tanner Houck. A year ago, we were talking about what an incredible first half he's had. Let's see what he looks like in the second half. Oh, bad start, but he'll bounce back. He has not bounced back since then. Kind of makes you think, when did the arm elbow issues start to affect him?
Okay, I've got an answer on AI. It says, yes, MLB players on the 40-man roster can indeed sign with and play for foreign professional leagues during a lockout, provided they comply with that league's rules. And you know what? This actually, I want to say that I remember something about Kobe Bryant threatening to sign overseas during an NBA lockout.
Hmm.
So, I mean, sure, go pitch in like Korea or something, I guess, if there's a lockout. I don't know.
Korean Hulk, dude. I'd be down for Korean Hulk.
Didn't Merrill Kelly go to Korea and totally revamp himself? And we all wanted that guy. So
I feel like pitchers go to Korea and they get fixed. And then hitters go to Japan because they're all about contact and bat to ball skills. And they get fixed. So pitcher, Korea.
Where did Eric Thames go? Because that guy went overseas and he put on maybe 300 pounds of muscle, came back. I know he didn't sustain it for a long time, but when he first came back, he looked like he was about to be a 40 homer guy.
He went to
Korea. I think.
Korea. No, wait, he did both. Both.
Oh, he did both.
He did both. Look at this. Eric Tham. Yeah, playing in Japan. He did both. Wow. He did the full Asia tour.
Dude, I loved Eric Thames. He went 5 years between MLB appearances. 2012 was his last year in Seattle and at 25 years old. Then he came back in 2017 at age 30 with the Brewers.
And he hit 31 homers.
How many homers did he have in his career before this? 12.
I don't know why I knew 31 off the top of my head.
You didn't have that in front of you?
No.
Oh my God, Pat. That's good. That's like a Sammy number thing. 19 plus Milwaukee. 25. So he had 28 home runs and his. Oh, that's only two seasons. He had 28 home runs in two seasons and then left and then came back and was a 31 home run guy.
Oh my God.
What is this?
The hell cares?
Oh, shut up, Joe.
Get out of here, Joe. We're talking Eric. Wait, he played five seasons in foreign leagues. So one in NPB, three in KBO. What is the other?
Does it not say?
I found it. Caracas. Venezuelan Winter League? Oh, yeah. No, this can't be it. I guess so.
So, yeah. Tanner Houck, be the next Eric Thames is the synopsis here.
Well, we also Eric Thames, he might have had some assistance if you look at his.
Did he test positive, Sammy?
No, he didn't test positive.
Let's not throw accusations out here, Sammy.
Some people get away with crimes sometimes. I'm not accusing Eric Thames, but I am accusing Eric Thames.
Did Barry Bonds test positive?
Never, dude. Totally clean.
His voice
just changed to this naturally, not from steroids.
His head grew like 15 sizes. That's just what happens when you age.
Yeah,
you can attest to that.
Yeah. I have huge pectoral muscles now because I'm older. And my forehead is bulging, bulbous, and my voice is getting higher. And I have back acne, and I'm ripped.
And my balls are M&M's.
Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome.
Sammy, show the class.
All right. Here I go.
All right. Do we have anything else on the Sox, or do we want to get to Nuff Said?
Nothing, man.
I love how upset Joe gets with us when we get off topic. Talk Eric Thames. I think people like that when we have funny tangents. As long as we don't spend 20 minutes on it. Joe hating on Eric Thames.
Yeah, don't hate on Eric Thames, Joe.
You know what we need to give Joe? You know what Joe needs? Anabolic steroids.
What is that going to do to Joe if you give him anabolic steroids?
He's going to be fucking huge. He's going to be the scariest producer you've ever seen.
Don't you have to lift with the steroids to get, like, yes, what does it yes. do? Because steroids don't
accelerates
so,
it.
So we gotta give him a needle and like an insane workout program. He's gonna absolutely crush it.
Yeah, yeah, Joe, pull your ass cheek out. We're sticking a needle in you.
How do you feel about that, Joe?
Look at Joe's disgust.
That look of disappointment.
We are a baseball podcast.
Yeah, and we thought Cal was, we thought I'm, Cal I'm, was big dumper.
Pull it out, Joe.
Joe, can I tweet that you're going to start taking anabolic steroids?
No. No, you can't. No, you can't.
To begin taking anabolic steroids.
And what Sammy tweets is factual, as is always. Yep. So,
yep,
it's happening. Joe, I've already placed the order. We expensed it. So
he actually took a page out of Peyton Manning's playbook. He ordered HGH under his wife's name, and it's just going to go right to you.
I forgot about that. Peyton Manning did that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I haven't thought about that in years. Joe, cheating any bastard. Comment, Joe? Joe's just giving us a look of disappointment, but he's going to do it.
I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, he's disappointed, but you're going to do it, and you're going to get ripped. And that, when I go to my next MMA fight, you'll be in it.
There's no steroids in MMA, Gordo. Come on.
I didn't say that. I just said Joe would be huge and could fight. Oh, yeah. You didn't say anything.
All right.
Anyone have enough said? Yeah, let's go to enough said.
Yeah, I got one. What was it called? Speedway Series? Yeah. Okay. In Bristol, the MLB Speedway Classic, the Reds and the Braves played a game in Bristol on a NASCAR track. And, you know, everything went wrong. It was pouring rain. The seats were not perfect, everything. And Major League Baseball is getting ripped to shreds for it. But I really, really like when baseball tries to get creative, like the Field of Dreams game. I think it's super cool. So it didn't go how they planned, but I give props to Major League Baseball for doing something cool. It looked awesome. The view behind home plate on Sunday, they resumed the game on Sunday when it wasn't a friggin' monsoon, and it looked, the optics were cool. Again, a lot of stuff went wrong. It was a little bit clunky, could have been done better, but I do think MLB deserves credit for at least thinking out of the box. That's been the big knock on them for years, is that it's an old man's, we do it the old-fashioned way, and baseball's a sport for kids played by adults, and it gets stale. So when they do stuff like this, gentle round of applause. I thought it was cool. It didn't work like they wanted it, like I said, but still thought it was cool.
Wait, I have a question for you, Sammy. So that game, they played an inning on Saturday, and it got, suspended. Mm-hmm. They finished it today at the racetrack field, whatever, but did they play the other game that was scheduled for today?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I know they finished the game at Bristol. They had to have, right?
Are they playing tomorrow? Yeah, like, do they have a mutual off day tomorrow or something? No, the Reds are playing the Cubs. I don't think they played a doubleheader today. How far? Where is this? Where is the racetrack thing? Where
Bristol.
Not Connecticut.
Bristol Connecticut. No, isn't it like Kentucky or something? Tennessee.
Tennessee. So who was the home first team game, for this?
First game in Tennessee ever.
Yeah, the home team is the Reds. So They didn't play a doubleheader today. So I wonder what they're going to do there.
How far is Cincinnati? Isn't that fairly close in both Cincinnati? Midwest, yeah.
Or is it possible they didn't have a game scheduled for today because they were just going to play the one game there and then have to travel?
All right, that could be it.
Oh, that's so true. Okay, I have Spencer Strider in fantasy, and I noticed he didn't have a game on Sunday, so he wasn't going to have a two start. I noticed that. I was like, why? And that's why. So they didn't have a game today. Makes sense.
Okay, yeah. It's a five-hour drive, Cincinnati. Oh, it's Bristol's kind of sort of between Cincinnati and Atlanta. It's not super close to either, but yeah, I don't know. It wasn't perfect. I fully admit it was not perfect, and the execution was poor. I just like the creativity. I want more cool games like that. I was trying to think of other places they could do games. I like how the NBA did a game on an aircraft carrier. I think it might have been college basketball, but they did a game on an aircraft carrier.
What?
And all the entire audience was troops, which was cool.
Wait, do what do you mean on an aircraft carrier? What does that even mean?
The big ships, like the ships that planes land on. Yeah.
Like, so it was like a
Like
a boat?
Yeah, basically.
On the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Not moving.
That's typically where they tend to be. Yeah.
That's
boats
crazy.
Do go in the
I did
water.
Not know they did that.
Yeah, I'll find a picture. But that's my point, is cool stuff like that grows the sport. I never, ever watched basketball until the playoffs, but I heard about this. So there you go. It gets fans who normally wouldn't be interested. I'm talking about it years later, and I think the same thing goes for something like Bristol. Just try to clean up the execution next time.
Pat, you got enough said?
You know what? I'm not sure I do.
Okay.
I don't think I do. I normally do.
Incredible.
All right.
Come back to me.
Okay. I'll check back before I wrap. I'll go on. I'll give enough said and I'll check back. All right. So this weekend I was at my buddy's bachelor party and it was like with mostly my college friends. And I've got a bunch of college friends who are Yankee fans. Two of them were on this trip. And all I will say is I was so happy to have been on this trip with them during this weekend of baseball. That's all. It was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Wow, what happened? Gordo, they got like, they have four closers. What are you talking about? They got David Bednar, Jake Bird, and Camilo Duvall.
Pat looks like someone died.
Peyton Tully to AAA.
Ah. What?
Yeah, it's promotion season right now. Yeah, Seattle just brought up Cole Emerson, like all the big boys are coming up. That's why I keep saying I think Peyton Tully's going to pitch in the bullpen for the Red Sox this year.
He sure is if he's getting promoted to AAA right now.
You guys doubted me. You doubted that.
I agreed with you.
You know why I got this right?
Didn't he make like three starts in AA?
I think it was like five.
He made a handful. Yeah, but you know why? You know why I knew this? Because the Sox prospects guys said it, and those guys know their shit, so I trust them.
They sure do.
Mm-hmm. That was not an original take from me. I don't want to take credit for it. It's cheap.
Right, so what you're saying is that you don't know ball, and they do, is what you're saying.
I've never watched baseball in my life. I actually, it's nah, more of a hockey guy.
Non-ball knower over here. That's Sammy.
You're pointing
right
to Pat on my screen.
You're pointing to me.
Really? Oh, wow. Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. Well, I guess Pat doesn't know ball either. Joe's above me. Is Joe above me?
Joe's muted. Joe doesn't know mute.
Yeah, Joe doesn't know how to unmute himself.
Sorry, I was too busy taking my steroids.
I see. Express delivery.
Anabolic Joe. We're going to start calling you that. Ooh,
let's not. I do want to give props to Will Fleming for just an awesome gesture he did today, bringing in Jimmy, the parking attendant, in for an inning. Part of that fourth run inning, I might add. That dude is awesome. We got our first taste of him when Whitlock said he would bring him to rob the town. And then obviously people saw him in the Netflix doc. But I just thought that was such an awesome gesture.
That's awesome. I is there a way for me to go back and listen to that? Like, what did they talk about, Joe?
They were just shooting the shit, pretty much.
He's not like, retiring or anything, is he?
No. He had a death in the family. I believe it was his mother passed away. So they brought him in because he was out for a while. He came back. They brought him in. He kind of spoke about, you know, what he was going through. And Will did a really nice kind of explanation of what he does for the Red Sox and how he's the most positive guy you'll ever see. And it was great. It was really, he was funny, you know, all things considered. He just went through kind of a sad time in his life, but he was still cracking jokes in the booth. Diehard Red Sox fan. He kept going like Seti. Yeah, look at Seti. He's just great. Good sense of humor. You could tell everyone at Fenway loves him. So Joe, I agree. That was nice. And Will handled it beautifully. Lenny too. Both did a great job. So kudos to everyone involved.
That's awesome. He's in the parking lot. If you walk by the player parking lot, he's always standing there. If you see him, shout him out because he is super cool. And it was awesome to hear in spring training players like Garrett Whitlock shouted him out. And I talked to him about it. He was so appreciative, so excited that like he got shouted out by one of the players. And yeah, he's just a big Sox fan. So that's awesome to hear. I didn't know he got
plays a role too. Sorry for interrupting. He plays a role too. Like he helps. He spoke a little bit about how part of what he does is keeping the young guys comfortable, keep them loose because it's intimidating. We grow up coming to Fenway. We're used to going to Fenway. It's like our second home. But for these kids, like Roman Anthony, who's from Florida, it's probably intimidating for him the first time he goes to Fenway. Holy shit, this is Fenway Park. This is the site of the town. So yeah, he's not just parking the cars. Like he's helping out. He's talking to these guys. He's the first face they see. I think that's important. And that's part of what they discussed today on WEEI.
That's awesome. Good for him. So Pat, you're enough said as Peyton Tully. You're good to go.
Oh yeah.
All right. Good pod today, guys. The Red Sox are playing good ball. I'm proud of this team again. Just like to wrap it up. So many times they got kicked in the dick this year and have gotten back up and have put themselves in a position to not just make the playoffs for the first time since 2021, but to win the division maybe, to maybe even have the best record in the American League. And they've got an easier stretch of games coming up after they finish up this. If they finish the hard part of the gauntlet, they've still got some tough teams coming up. But this is a team that has a chance to make a real run here. And tell your friends, tell your family that we back up here. It's time for the Sox, man. It's time to go. It's post-deadline. This team's playing great ball. This is going to be a postseason baseball team. We're going to have baseball in October for the Red Sox, and hopefully it's at Fenway Park. Maybe they even get a bye through the first round, win the division, have one of the best records in baseball. They can do it, but it's go time. And I'm glad to see that they are getting hot at the right time. I'm proud of this team, and I'm just, once again, just so excited every night to watch the Red Sox play baseball. And when you're this late in the summer and you still have that feeling, that is awesome. And I'm happy that it's here. So we'll be back in your ears in a couple of days. Thanks for tuning in to episode, 246 of Playtesty. Appreciate you tuning in. Remember to subscribe on WEI, wherever you get your podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and then find WEI's YouTube page and subscribe there as well. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos on the Playtesty playlist. Can find Playtesty on all the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for soon to be very jacked Joe Braverman, it is Gordo here talking Sox. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.